Hello and welcome to The Way on Culture Radio Station. I'm Hunchy Henry Graves, and our guest today is Sam Correa. How you doing, Sensei?
I'm doing fine. Thank you for having me.
Everybody. You're welcome. You're welcome. Can you give us a little backdrop about yourself and what you study and things like that? Oh, great. So how do you feel about Shotokan compared to like Taekwondo or Goju-Ryu, or do you have any feeling that one is better than the other? They all have value, or what do you think about it? Great. Well, I too practice the art of Shotokan. I have been subjected to a bunch of different martial artists and styles and things like that, but I kind of like the katas in Shotokan and some of the principles that they stick by. I just kind of gravitated more towards it. How many years have you been training again? Quite a while. Quite a while, Sensei. Yes. And I beg your pardon?
Everything I ever tried to in life, I make sure I had.
Okay, well, a lot of similarities between you and I because, I've done a lot of VIP protection things and worked in law enforcement with Department of Corrections and things like that also. But you know what? The martial arts have been a godsend for me because at an early age, I got introduced to it and I love it and stick with it for what it is, Ken, what would you tell a young person that's looking for a sport activity, or do you consider the martial arts a sport, or it's just a what do you think about it as that?
But even at an earlier age, martial arts has always been not just a sport or extracurricular. It was just a way of life. It's like one of those things, like your family likes this baseball team, and you don't know why. You just grew up liking that baseball team. So my three senseis were my two older brothers. And so martial arts has always been a part of my life. So my advice for the young kids in this generation to find a martial art that you really fit well with and to stick with it it's very repetitive. You're striving for, and you know, just stick with it and dive into it 100%, and not just the, you know, the physical part about it, but the mental part about it too, as well. And also, what is very lacking in today's generation, the fellowship part about it. I mean, and I'm sure you're a testimonial to this too. I could pick up a phone right now and I could call friends in the UK. Hey, I'm coming over. Come on in, brother. Let's fellowship. Let's train.
Oh, yeah.
In California. Hey, brother, I'm coming over there in California. I need a place to clash. Hey, brother, my dojo's open.
Yes.
Train and fellowship. That's aspects of being a martial artist. It's just a fellowship. So just dive into it 100% would be my overall advice for the young guys.
Oh yeah, I have been asked by parents quite often, what is the right age to start my child at? Can I start him at 3? Can I start him at 4? You know, with me, I've found out that some children progress really fast than others, and you can take a 4-year-old that can do what a 6-year-old can do, or you can take a 6-year-old that won't be able to do what a 4 or 5-year-old can do. So you have to kind of do that self-evaluation when they come in. But I started at the age of 6 and, stuck with it. So I'm open to things like that. You know, what about you? Have you ever been asked that question?
Me, it's almost about the same. Like, it depends. Each person is different. Each child is different.
Yeah.
Find, develop at different phases in their life at different times. So you may, like you said, you may have a 5-year-old that, you know, his mental state is that of a 7 or 8-year-old, and you can teach him and really absorb and apply to what he's being taught.
Yes. Yes.
So it's like case basis. Whenever I have a new student coming in, you know, I give them a one-on-one class and evaluate them.
Yes.
Not just evaluating their physical, attributes and their abilities, but also their defensive safety. You can get a feel for why this person wants to train and what level of commitment they will have. And if they're a younger, child.
Yeah.
Something that they would gravitate to
in
the long run.
And, it's kind of like when I was coming up and I got into the martial arts, that's all I wanted to do. And, I stuck with it all these years. But, it seems sometimes it's such like a business aspect of it that I'm not really that familiar with far as that business-like attitude with it. I just want to get them in the dojo, train them, make sure they become good people, make sure they feel confident about themselves when they leave out of the dojo, and all around they feel a good sense of well-being. But I see a lot of schools, man, the kids are coming in and coming out and, not staying long or the parent, when they get the black belt, they seem like they got it all, like, oh, I got my black belt. Now I'm a master or to me, a black belt is still learning what to do with what he learned about the basics. It ain't the end of the road. You know what I mean?
Come back, you're not master.
Yes.
Personally, like I said, for my two older brothers, where my first brothers passed away, and my other brother came along, the feeling for martial arts, and I promised myself, hey, I'm going to get a black belt to honor my brother. And then he stopped. And, lo and behold, once I got that black belt, 17 years later, not 3 or 4 years later, but once I got it, it was like an exclusive. You know everything you've been doing for the last, 15, 17 years? This is how you use it in real life. And I was like, wow, I know nothing.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's great how senseis, they get the, as senseis, we get the students in there and you see that child develop and they move on and they grow up and they become, young men, young women, and they, come back to you, say thank you. And, you know, they like you just saying, they learned that the martial arts was so much more than throwing a punch or throwing a kick or doing a kata. They found out some great, great life lessons in the martial art about, you know, never giving up and having fortitude, or when it's going to get tough, you know, you just get going in there and get tough and get it done, you know. So those are good attributes that the martial art give. Some people, what do you think about like the MMA fighters? I think I'm wanting to get an MMA person on the show to hear what they got to say about it. Because, you know, some people feel like MMA is just stand up fighting and no real technique. Some people say, no, they have to have techniques to get out of these different arm bars or get out of these different holds or takedowns, you know. What are your viewpoint on that?
All of that, the sport of MMA and, you know, the promotion of UFC since the inception. And if you remember, you know, when that thing first came out, that was no rules, no holds barred, there was no weight classes, and, you know, they would put, like, sumo wrestlers up against
little guys. Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You know, to me, that is real competition, martial art competition.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, you got rules and stuff like that, but, you know, I think there's a place in it, and that time, you know, has came for, you know, something new. Karate has never been such a big, like, a sporting thing as far as, like, Taekwondo in the Olympics, or, you know, I watched, like, old footage from the 70s where they had, like, you know, open fights for karate and, you know, things like that. But as far as that, it never got, like, really, like, into the mainstream. I'm happy that it's going to go into the 2020 Olympics for the first time.
Oh, yeah.
Which is going to be awesome. Yeah. And it's going to be a great sport. It might create a karate boom, like, you know, happening or whatever.
Oh, yeah, when Bruce Lee came on the scene and things like that, how, you know, we got a big explosion. I remember watching Kung Fu movies every Saturday, going to the Kung Fu picture show and stuff like that, you know, really kind of made me happy that I knew something about martial arts, you know. And sometimes I try to emulate flying in the air. You know how it is when you're young, you know, you see things.
Uh-huh. Because, when you have to defend yourself, it's going to be pretty much what you see in it. At first, and then.
Yeah. Yes. Yes. And, you know, it's really, I was like a compliment to martial arts that MMA fighters usually go and take some karate, whether it's Goju-Ryu, Taekwondo, Shotokan. You know, they go through the formal training and then they may progress to martial arts for a stand-up fighting or MMA fighting and stuff like that. You know, I guess, you know, when the people that's really good at it, they realize that, you know, I got to get some basics. I got to learn, you know, proper kicking, proper blocking, proper takedown. But most of all, I think the mind focus that we have as martial artists gives us that unique advantage as senseis, because our focus is so clear. We focus on that and we stay keen in on it. That's what gets us, I think, to those other points in our lives where we excel at different things we do. You could become a box maker and become the best box maker they ever had, you know, because of that focus we have, you know? Yeah. 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 Mm-hmm. I agree. All the time, all the time. Oh, yeah. Yes. Yeah.
In a traditional format, in a traditional dojo, we learn more better how to control that part of the warrior. That's the difference to me.
And it's a necessity. You know, I had a conversation 2 days ago with someone. We were talking about weapons, and they were like, yeah, but, you know, I don't like teaching weapons because you're not going to walk around with a weapon. I said, you know, training with a weapon, teaching someone a weapon don't mean that they have to walk around with that weapon. It just gives them a sense of how to use that weapon in conjunction with their own body. You know, I mean, no, I'm not going to walk around with a 6-foot bow or a joe or a samurai sword. But knowing how to implement them, how to work with them, give me a sense of accomplishment when I can do a good form or do a good strike or, you know, with that weapon. So it's kind of like, for me, it works as a thing to help my mind also, you know.
Going to be on the street and listen, hey, there's a branch on the floor, hey, there's a stick up there, you know.
Yeah. Right, right. Yeah. Yep.
Hey, you know how to do weapons. I just never put a weapon in your hand. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Man, yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. And, you know, after a while, we'll be those guys who the younger black belts and the Yodanchas and all that be saying, man, my sensei one day told me this and it worked, or I'm glad sensei told me that. And they'll be teaching their students, the ones that like to carry on with the martial arts and find a passion for also sharing. I really believe that when we get that knowledge, You should share it with someone, especially that good journey you took to get to that black belt. I remember that day I got black belt, how I felt. And nothing has taken that place of that. I mean, look, it's been 55 years, right? I've been in it, but I haven't been a black belt for 55 years, but I've just been involved with martial arts that long. But I remember those 7 years going by, and I got my black belt. I think I was maybe 22, something like that, after practicing all those years before that. But with the one Sensei Jackson, he took me and took me under his wings. I had my uncle. I had other people I trained with, but I stayed with him as a constant. And when he put that black belt on me, man, it was like the best day ever. The best day. You know?
Another 300 and then, but only one out of 10,000 becomes a black belt.
Wow.
In case it is something I can't remember word for
word. That's really unique. Yeah. Yes.
Reminded me of a story, if I may, real quick.
Puss.
Like that before. Just a what if. And so the what if actually came one time and out of my 36 years of training, or whatnot. And so I was so happy. Do I trust you? There's so much in my body, and I give him a hug.
Yeah. Wow. Yes. Wow. Yes. Yeah. Yes, that's the part that we're talking about. Because I remember often Sensei saying the greatest warrior doesn't have to lift one finger in a battle. I like, huh? Well, how's he the greatest warrior then, you know? That's just being able to communicate with another person without having to fight, and both people walk away with an understanding. But there's times when you can't do it, when you have to defend yourself, like, you know, but when you can use words, I think that's a win for everybody, including the person that don't know who you are or your ability. You know? So what in your years of teaching, I've asked everybody that came on the show this, do the female martial artists seem to be quicker to learn than the male martial artists, or is it about even with you? Okay. Mm-hmm. Well, I tend to agree with you 100%. I mean, like all the years I've been teaching, And when I have a group with female students and male students starting at the same time, the female students get it quicker. And I really would like to, you know, keep asking my guests and the senseis and everybody that come on the show how they look in their school, how do it work in their school. And I'm telling you, so far, everyone has told me, oh, yeah, the girls learn a lot quicker. And they stay really focused on it. So I'm like, wow. Now, do they stay in the martial art longer than the men? That some I've had it not equal. They look like the guys stick around a little longer. But far as learning it, now, wow.
Like we said, they able to, male student and female student, right? The woman, the girl might learn a little quicker, but she's not going to, you know, show it because that they always have that complex about, I'm just a girl, this is why I'm going to. There is any young little girl, it's like, no, you can't do it. You can't stand up there and,
right,
you know, be boisterous or be quiet or just, you know, if you got
it,
right?
Oh man, if you can do it, do it.
Yeah, on the other side, you see the boys, you know, when they're learning, they may not pick it up. Would love to, you know, show them the absolute, you know, more gumption when it comes to.
Yeah.
Because little boys are like that.
Oh yeah, we're competitive. We're very competitive. Yeah. Yeah, me neither am I. But I always find it interesting.
Right.
You know? What do you think about karate tournaments? Yes. I got you. Yeah. Yeah, Marshall Fellowship talk about the tournament and you see the kids having a good time because they, most of them know each other that participate in these tournaments, right? Most of them hang around with each other and have worked at schools together and been at different summer camp programs, after school programs together. Now, I was thinking about Kata the other day, and I'm looking at now how Sansai Kata is becoming very popular. Shotokan Kata, they raving about it, and as far as Olympic style and on the circuit, the big circus, a lot of them are doing Sansai Kata. What do you think about that kata? Or are you familiar with it?
By name, I'm
Yes. 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 Me too. Yes. And you're right. You hit it. Sensei, you hit a dead spot on. I'm Grandmaster Vic Moore on the show last week. You'd have really enjoyed him because he's just like what you're saying. He said they're just jumping up and down and whoop, 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 acting like, he's like an old school traditionalist guy, like that. But when you say about the katas and how some of them do it, and I was speaking particularly about Sansai, and I've seen katas where they go all the way down on the knee, a punch to the head, punch to the body, then an elbow. And after that, they changed the whole thing up. I don't understand what that was about, but that kind of got me going with that. How they just changed the kata up a whole lot, and they changed the kata up so much. They punch to the head, punch to the body, empty to the rib area, then come up, then the other side to do the same thing. But in some katas, they don't go. They go all the way down on both knees. But in the original, they don't do that. So I understand what you mean. Now they change up the kata. Some of them, I think, like with me, my knees are kind of like ain't as good as they used to be. I might not want to go all the way down. And I think also it's about the bunkai. If you're being attacked, it don't need to go down that low. Because if I'm on that low, I feel like I'm hitting their thigh instead of the rib area, the floating rib area or something like that with an impi, with an elbow. Yeah. So that's what I mean. Kata just seemed like it's just... depending on what school you're in, their interpretation or the way they was taught it, that's why you may see different things.
Right. And we have a conversation, how
Yes.
You know, and that's just all I have, man.
Yeah.
Anybody else that is mine, I think all my shots are good if you just dive in 100%.
Well, do you have a favorite kata? Or a weapon kata? Or a weapon? Anything you like particular?
My favorite kata right now at the moment is Kung Fu Show.
Oh, okay. It's a great kata. Okay. Great kata.
Yeah. I'm glad you touched up on that about, you know, your needs and stuff, because we had a conversation also before about, and I did appreciate that one time when I was just wondering about the doctor.
You're welcome.
That was awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Earlier, like about 3 weeks ago, I ran across a benefit that
mm-hmm.
walked away with. And yeah, as we get older, like, you know, your karate has to evolve too.
Yes. It's called evolving, you know. I want the martial arts to continue to evolve, but I don't want the basic principles of it to just leave. And some dojos, they don't even call the head instructor or the sensei, they call him coach. And that, to me, I'm like, wow, if I want to, okay, well, yeah. But you're going to call me sensei. That's the way I was brought up in the martial arts, you know. But, you know, you're going to say, hey, coach, you're not going to tell me, you're not going to call me a coach, you know.
Oh, that's a generational thing. I think that's
weird. Yeah, but does it sound more personal?
Yeah, I can see why. I mean, I prefer sensei.
Yes.
I mean, but, you know, it's a different generation. Everybody feels like they're being oppressed. So, you know, you can't speak to certain people one way. So maybe, I don't know, maybe sensei seems a little too much to handle. I don't know. I don't even understand that one.
For those of you guys are out there and you're listening to this, we're going to become political correct in a karate dojo now. Is that what's going to be the new thing, you know, in the dojo? Is we're going to stick to the tradition that founded the dojo that got it to where it's at now? It's still evolving. I mean, martial arts has been around very long time. And the word sensei been there exactly for a very long time. And are we now going to modernize it so we can just call him coach or, hey, Mr. Herbert or Mr. Graves? Or are we going to go to the air? I mean, what do you think about that? And, you know, we want to hear from you, too. When you call in, if you have some comments on stuff like that, you know, I would love to hear it and talk about it. You'd become a guest on the show, talk about those things. This is called The Way. And what we're trying to do is just elaborate on martial arts differences and similarities, because although you may think it's so much a big difference, it's so much is still the same, similar, because you can only do a kick so many ways, a punch so many ways, a block so many ways, you know. So, but even though a lot of people think it's such a big difference, yeah, you know. Yeah. Tell me some of the unique places you ever done the martial arts, like on the beach or on a mountaintop or, you know.
Everywhere I go, I do something correct. I do something. I do a kata somewhere, somewhere, or something. I do it off the top of my head. I did martial arts in Times Square.
Oh, wow.
Martial arts on the beach, like a cliff over in a beach. I did it on top of the cliff. So I don't know. That's just the martial art geek in me. There's a picture. There's pictures of me doing the karate kick. You probably seen that on my Facebook page. Doing the karate kick, playing bean on top of a wooden bean in the water.
Oh, nice. Yeah.
When it comes to taking a picture, so every everywhere I go, I make sure I do a kata. Everybody knows I'm from Chicago. I did a kata in front of the Big Bean, in front of hundreds of people and tourists.
Oh, nice. I'm like you, man. I was over in Haiti, and I did my kata over there. We went over by a waterfall. I don't know what mountain we went up, but I did it there. In Dominican Republic, did it on a beach, you know, stuff like that. In Puerto Rico, I remember this really nice place, and I think it was Aguadilla that I did a kata. It was like near a beach or something like that. In Canada, of course, I was at different areas up there doing, you know, everywhere I go, I like to take a picture doing something in that place. You know, it's kind of cool. And you can put it, bring it back.
Do that too.
Yeah. Oh. I'm going to tell you the truth. Sensei, I'm telling you, probably about 80% of the time, I'm in a gi. I mean, I don't know what it is. But when I decide I'm going to do a card, I want to be in my gi on the beach. Or when I was at the waterfall, I think I had on the gi pants. But anyway, I'm most of the time I'm in gi clothes. I don't know. That sounds like me. If I'm not in a total gi, I got the gi pants on, you know. Yeah. You know, they're just so comfortable and a part of my life, and I got other clothes, but, you know.
I will be there. Something, I will do something. And since I'm right in the middle of the
and I'll go. Ooh, oh my goodness. Oh, man. Yeah, the kids over there doing push-ups. But you know what? The person you became is a testament to your sensei, the great person that you are, you know. And also to yourself, and good God, you know, the good Lord. You know, I mean, it's just, I love the word sensei. I love being able to teach martial arts. I like that, you know. I can't remember a time when I wasn't practicing martial arts. That's what I'm saying, because I started so young, you know.
Yeah. Where, like, you know, I haven't necessarily trained or whatnot, you know. Like, when I joined the military, I was away from my sensei for, like, almost 7 years. So, you know, I couldn't actively train, but I would train on my own.
Okay.
And, you know, it's always been something that, you know, it was just a pillar, something that I could always put my hand on and rest. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
And people ask me, you know, how long have you been training at this point? Like, now, is it really called training?
Yeah, you have become it.
No, today 9 a.m. training session, 10 a.m. You know.
Right.
Brush my teeth. I do my morning business. I go outside.
Yes, I do. And there you go. That's the way it is, too. And when you have been doing it as long as you or I have been doing it, we just gravitate to it and just, you don't even think about it. Sometimes you find yourself doing moves, you know, creating moves. Or I see myself in a store, and sometimes I used to, like, when people walk by me, a group of people walk by me, I'll be thinking about what to do. And, you know, just constantly thinking martial way. But at the all time, I'm always polite. I'm always polite. I'm telling you, I will walk around you. You know, I don't want to have that confrontation unless it is absolutely no other way I can just avoid it.
Maybe that goes back to that why people don't stay in martial arts, girls or boys or whatever the case may be, for a long time, because not just everybody could understand or grasp, you know, that it's not really you're learning martial art. It's really, you know, you learn the martial art to learn how to live life in a martial way.
Yes.
And to get grasp back.
Yeah, you can go for a walk in the Florida sun. Man, let me tell you. But you know, I left. Yeah. Why are you here? What are you training for? You know, and when you learn your purpose, I've read something that said that the greatest 2 days of your life is the day that you were born and the day you find out why. The most important 2 days of your life is the day you were born and the day you find out why. And that is so true. When you find out your purpose or find your purpose, it's like it's a whole new you. It's like an epiphany, you know. It's just like, wow, this is what I want to do. This is what I'm going to do and how I'm going to do it. You know, it takes some people a little longer than others, but if you stay determined to the course, you'll get to where you want to get to. That's what martial arts taught me. Yeah. Now, we talked about, you didn't really tell me what weapon you like. Is it the bow staff, the sword, or? Oh, really? Okay. Yes. And I found out in some cultures, the kai or the or the au was was used a lot differently. You know, like with Japan, I think they call it kai or au, that's that what we call a or, was like a higher weapon, and over there they would use it to do the technique where they're using that, and they would flip sand in the person eye with the you know, the flat part of it, and then tack them with it, you know. And but the thigh was like a lesser weapon in the Japanese culture than even the bow, you know. And I thought that was kind of interesting, but I have not really gravitated to thigh. I like them. I learned one kata or two katas with it, made up a couple katas of my own. But I love the sword. So with the side, what do you feel is a unique characteristic of it that makes you gravitate towards that?
It's like a two-part thing. It's not like a bowl or just one structure. More constraint with it. Like I said, it could be a sharp weapon, it could be a blunt weapon. Generation in today's age, not a lot of people know this, or you don't bother to read up, but when you get a concealed weapons license, it's not just for an armed weapon, like a gun. It could be for something the size of a side.
Yeah.
Easy to hide.
Okay.
And learning other weapons as well, but I always like side, and the interesting part is, like, I really don't know about like one or two commas.
Yeah. But you know what the weapon of choice for most martial artists is? Nunchakus. Yeah. I mean, I remember making them out of two pieces of wood and two eye bolts, screwing it into the, trying to be Bruce Lee and stuff like that. But they were so easy to make, but it was a very dangerous weapon. Oh, man, I mean, I've hit myself in the head with those and still got a knot to this very day. I'm serious. I mean, I was young, but that knot never went away. I say, yep, that's my nunchuck knot. It's like when I learned how to be a sniper and was going to sniper class, and a lot of them say most snipers get a, do good, but some snipers, they get called an idiot knot. When they put their eye too close to the scope, when they pull that trigger, it kicks back. Put a little indentation over the brow. They call that an idiot knot, So yeah, I got me a nunchuck idiot knot, using them things and grabbing them knot by the wood, let the chain grab the chain under my arm when it flipped back and hit crap. Oh, I never forgot that day. Never forgot that day. Yes. Man, we're lucky here in Florida that we can practice pretty much every day. Because of the weather. One time I went out in the rain and practiced, but then when it started lightning, I came really quick back in. But it was just, I like that nature being outside training like that, It felt pretty good. It felt real good. It wasn't too hot, too cold, but the rain made it feel really, really good. Oh, yeah. Okay. Okay. Yeah. Yeah. That's right. Some of those people wear those little, I think I laugh, I'm calling skinny jeans, and they be so tight, look like they can hardly lift their foot up to do a proper front kick, let alone any other kind of kick. So, yeah. Is that right? Oh, wow. Yeah. Oh, man, I didn't know that. I get Chuck Norris jeans. Ain't that something? They say Chuck Norris, he look at the grass and the grass cut itself. That's just an old joke they used to say about Chuck Norris. But ain't it wonderful though how people, when they find out you're a black belt, they always want to go, hey, let me see you do this and show me this and that and show me this and that and Yeah. Yes. Yeah. I get it asked all the time. Oh, you a black belt? Can you do, show me what somebody, if they grab you like this, what do you do? And I try never to get engaged with them because it don't stop right there. You get like, and then show me this right here. And how you, and every day it'd be, so I shy away from it. I really do.
everywhere I go, if I I always be like, here, let me do something.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Like, what is your little self-defense technique? Like that, like, look, you may never see me again, but if it ever helps you out, you will remember me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh, man.
I had somebody come to me and be like, oh, my God, you know, you showed me one little thing and I used it and helped me get away and, you know, call the police. I'm glad.
Yes.
You know, but yeah, I like to use my martial arts with people. I mean, good stuff along the way. Like, you know, good people. You just can't be showing it to everybody.
Yeah. Oh, there's a lot of bad people out there. And but usually the bad ones ain't gonna walk up to you and ask you. If somebody have to feel a little comfortable with you, and you know, to come up and say, can you show me how to do that? Because the bad guy, he already think he's, you know, good at everything. Yeah, you can't tell by looking at them who's good and who's bad. That's true.
You gotta engage folks, man.
Yeah.
We as martial artists, we have that, you know, versus a regular person. Along that level, we as martial artists, we have that. Because when I walk in the room, I'm only engaging, you know. You got your, and I don't know if it's a military thing too, but it's always, you know, I check out the room and everything, and I check people's vibes out and stuff.
I know I do. I mean, like, you know. Yeah, man. I mean, you go in a room, you already know where the doors and windows, exits, and, you know, you only have to look on there one time, and it's just, you be aware. You have a sense of awareness, that's all. I think that's all it is. We just walk in and we see a situation, and we go, okay. And sometimes you get that sixth sense, they call it, but you can actually feel different things. You know what I mean?
Well, you know, your sense of smell, your sense of touch, your sense of feel, keep your face out of your phone.
Oh, man. They're talking about that. If we can just get them to put the phone down at the dinner table, we'll be doing great. You know? I mean... Yeah, people walk. What was that game where they falling something on their phone? A lady walked off the cliff, walked into a car. I forgot what that was called. The Pokemon. Yeah. The kids put down those games, come to a dojo, get reactive with people, you know, learn to engage and communicate and learn good social skills. Well, it was wonderful having you on the show today, Sensei, and I look forward to seeing you again. And, you know, like we say, we get together and do a little bit of working out and teaching and learning and sharing with each other. Again, are you open for any teaching or anything you got going on? Yes. And you're very good at it, too. You're super good at it.
No, I got to drop by on your new place. Congratulations.
Thank you so much. I'm looking forward to seeing you.
Right.
Boss, thank you so much, Sensei.
You're welcome.
Domo Hayato. Same here, Sensei. Thank you very much. And anybody, Sensei Sam is a great martial artist, and if you get an opportunity to train with him, you couldn't do no better. Have a great day, sir. Us.